Good morning. It's Thursday, and it's My Car Guru. We're on the air here with the Car Guru, Lenny Lawson, celebrating a Thursday morning. Good morning to you,
sir. Are we celebrating? Really?
Sure, because it's Friday Eve today.
Okay.
That's what we like to call it.
And well, the coffee's good. The Starbucks this morning was stupendous. You know, sometimes when my wife makes the coffee, it just tastes better than when I make it.
It's just her special touch.
It's her blend. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
She has a good touch. I've only known that girl since she was 15.
We better not say how many years that is. We'll tell
That's
her
a lot
age.
Of year.
We'll tell her age, and then she won't like that.
It's a bunch of years.
And we know she listens religiously to the show.
Yeah. You know, she might.
Just whatever strikes her.
I found a tape that I haven't listened to it yet because so I don't know who the host is. I think it's not Bill Meade. I think it's John Quaintance.
Mm-hmm.
I found a tape from January of 1999, and back then my show was called Let's Talk Cars.
Let's Talk Cars.
But I don't know if that was like the first show or one of several. I'll have to listen to it. It's on a cassette tape. You know what that is?
A cassette? Wow. That's just, that's like an antiquity.
Like, we've had CDs come out. You know, CD is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to when I started my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're eliminating CD players out of cars.
Oh, I know. I was disappointed when we got the Jeep, it didn't have the CD player, and I was looking around trying to find a place to shove the CD in. I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what in the world?
Yeah, they just, they're not necessary now.
But, oh, they've got the auxiliary hookup and all that. You know.
So sometimes, you know, Ford has this big screen on my new F-150. It's 12 inches in diameter, so it's a pretty sizable screen.
That's bigger than the TV I used to have in my bedroom when I was young.
Really?
Yeah.
So I remember I had one at UT, and it was like 2 inches.
Yeah.
It was black. It was like this little portable TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to get really close.
Yeah. They put them on the side.
My eyesight was better then, though.
Yeah, like they'd put them on the side of a boom box or something like that, you know, or what looked like a boom box.
But this is I am still exploring everything F-150 will do, just the instrument panel. When it snowed the other day, and I had a lot of excess, like on the sides of the cars and covering my cameras and stuff, that thing, there's a lot of alarm bells went off. And so I had to deactivate my perimeter sensors.
Because the
snow was... Doesn't that sound like something Captain Kirk would say? Spock, deactivate the perimeter sensors. You know, and he says, aye, Captain. No, that would be Scotty.
Yeah,
that would say
aye,
that.
Captain. So it was all because the snow was covering
it
up.
Hmm. So I had to deactivate my perimeter sensors.
Well,
and then I could drive down the driveway without beep, or beep.
It looks like before those sensors would go off, it would have a automatic heating system that would heat it up and melt that snow off.
Well, I was in my closet, and I grabbed my remote, and I hit my lock button twice, which is the way you start a Ford remotely, is you hit the lock button twice.
Oh, really?
Okay. And then you hit the starter button. It has a little starter button. It says start.
Yeah.
And has a circle around it. And you hold that down for a few seconds until the green light, the green LED comes on. So you have to pay attention to that. And so now I know when I do that and the temperature is below 50 degrees that the heated seats have come on, the heated steering wheel has come on, the defroster is on. If it cannot see, so it'll automatically hit the defroster. Front defroster, rear defroster, mirror defrosters. I mean, that thing could defrost anything.
The surface of the moon.
Yeah.
So, are you a little uneasy? You're probably used to it, though, but weren't you a little uneasy at first starting a vehicle and you're not really hearing it start? You're just going by the green light?
No. If the green light comes on, it started. Man, you got to trust the light.
Trust the light.
Mm-hmm. If it's red light, it didn't start.
I'd feel a little funny because I've never had a vehicle yet where you can start it remotely from the house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel a little funny, I think, at first, not hearing it physically start.
Well, it stays locked, and when it's a diesel, it has to sit there and light up the glow plugs, you know, because a diesel doesn't start instantly. You've got to turn the ignition on, and then the glow plugs have to heat up inside the cylinder, and then the fuel is injected, and kapowie, there you go.
Now, that sounds like an old toy from years ago, the glow plugs or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of cartoon.
The diesels are compression, ignition, engines. They do not have spark plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And the spark from a plug is what ignites the fuel in the cylinder in a regular gasoline internal combustion engine. Diesel engines rely on compression. And so you've got to have something hot in that cylinder. And so there's in each cylinder there's a glow plug. My tractor's the same way. You know, I have to turn the key over like so far on my Kubota tractor and let the glow plugs warm up. If I try to start my diesel tractor just instantly and turn the key all the way, it'll just go and won't start. If I want to start and I light the glow plugs for about, you know, probably 10 seconds, boom, it starts right up because it's got that advantage of that massive amount of heat.
So you just turn it over and let those plugs warm up and then it'll start.
Yeah, so all this new technology is, you know, it's comforting. It's making us soft, probably. I wish you could just, the truck could actually work out for me. You know, give me is there a button I can push to have cardiovascular fitness?
Just
without having to get on the elliptical.
Just hang on. That's probably coming here several years down the road.
I can't wait until the weather improves so I can start riding bikes again. I really miss that. My wife and I were really enjoying that.
Yeah.
And this cold weather, I mean, if it's much below 55, it's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And her, especially. Yes. She's cold natured.
It gets cold, yeah.
I've become way more cold natured. I sit there in my chair and I said, give me another blanket, honey. I'm cold. You know, that used to be my dad, you know, my mom, but I'm old now. I guess it's that aspirin that I have to take every day. That's what everybody tells me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we probably can talk about cars. I want to talk a little bit about batteries. I know that might sound somewhat boring, but you know, batteries, why do they go bad? You know, who's the culprit? Who's to blame? You know, it's probably not necessarily because of a defect in the battery.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because of you.
Surely not.
And I'll tell you about that here in just a minute.
Back here, it's Thursday morning on My Car Guru. You know, a lot of people around here, instead of saying batteries, they kind of shorten it by a syllable and say batteries. You notice that?
No, they say batteries.
Batteries?
Batteries. There's no E after the T. It just goes right to I-E-R-I-E-S.
Yeah.
Batteries.
Batteries, yeah.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of the way I talk. I remember going to visit my cousins up in Ohio, and it's the first thing they do. They said, say that again for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because we just like to hear you talk. You know, they're used to the northerner kind of...
Oh, yeah. I was in Boston one time, and I was talking, and I don't consider that I have that drastic a southern accent.
You don't.
As opposed to a lot of other people.
But you do say I instead of I.
Mm-hmm. And so I must have said something that triggered somebody because they were, I think it was in a restaurant, and they said, boy, you have a big accent. And I said, no, to us, you have the accent.
Yeah. Well, if you go in also to a restaurant, you order pinto beans and cornbread. you order beans and cornbread, and they say, where are you from? Or you order beans and cornbread, and they say, well, you mean navy beans?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
The brown ones.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have cornbread. We have sourdough.
And then
you know you're in San Francisco then.
Then you cap that off and say, give me a sweet tea if you're in the north. And then they look at you like you have an arm grown out of your head.
Yeah.
Sweet tea.
I'm looking at my iPhone right now. I'm going to the settings. And I'm going down to battery. And so, I've got about 75% battery left. Let's check my battery health. Oh, look here. Maximum capacity of my battery is now 91%. So if I'm charged all the way, it's only going to charge at 91%. Now, when I got the phone, I don't know, I've probably had this phone. This is a 11 Plus or 11, iPhone 11, whatever the big one is. And it says maximum capacity is 91% now.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to my other 9%? I want that back.
It just withered away as you used it.
It goes away. Well, why does that happen?
Just from wear, I guess.
Well, I don't know whether it's wear, it's usage. Obviously.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, the battery in this phone is different from the battery in your car. This is a much more efficient battery. It recharges quicker. it holds a charge longer,
mm-hmm.
and technology allows it to make it very small, you know, and able to work and do a lot. Do it, you know, probably, well, depending on a busy day, I may get a day and a half out of my phone before it dies. How long do you get? Is your phone about gone by the time you get to the house?
No, it isn't. I just got a new phone not too long ago, and it, I haven't tested it, but, well, I'll tell you this, I did leave it unplugged all night over the weekend, this past weekend, and it was only down to about 89%.
Okay.
When I got it the next morning.
So you need to talk longer on it. Watch more videos, something. Take more pictures.
No. Maybe take more
pictures. You're going to pass?
Maybe take more pictures, but not the other stuff.
You know, the battery is the weakest link. You ever seen that show?
The weakest link.
Weakest link, yeah. She would say, yes.
The battery is the weakest link when it comes to breakdowns for vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
52% of all breakdowns, of all non-start situations, you know, when something is going wrong with your car,
mm-hmm.
52% of the time, it's the battery.
Because of the battery.
Yeah, wow. 15% of the time, it's because of the tires.
Mm-hmm.
8% of the time, it's engine failure. Something wrong with the engine.
Mm-hmm.
7% of the time, it's the fuel injection. Now, when I say engine, I'm talking about engine and internal components. So, engines don't fail that often.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel injection, 7%. Heating and cooling, 6%. I saw one of my techs replacing a heater core. You know what a heater core is? That's a radiator, kind of like
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's in your dash.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of built into your dash. It's where the air blows through. You know, it's coolant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hot coolant. Is that an oxymoron?
That's an oxymoron. Okay. I know that it smells if it starts leaking. I know that.
Oh, it smells, and it will, you know, ruin your carpet, too,
yeah.
because it's antifreeze mm-hmm. leaking out. But the antifreeze gets hot, and then it passes through the heater core. And then the fan blows air through that heater core.
Mm-hmm.
And into the cabin to make you all warm and toasty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why the car is not hot. You know, it takes a while for the heat to work, is because it takes a while for the coolant to heat mm-hmm. up. Most mm-hmm. people know that,
mm-hmm.
but if you didn't, I'm here. So he was replacing a heater core and had to tear out the entire dash to get to it, all the way to the firewall. I don't know why manufacturers impose that burden on car buyers. Because typically it's not covered by the warranty,
mm-hmm.
and because they don't fail until cars get, you know, a lot of miles on them. All the more important to change out your coolant more often than the manual says. The manual sometimes says you can use the same coolant for 100,000 miles. That's malarkey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what malarkey is?
I do, yes.
I don't know why that means anything, but let's say it's not true, mm-hmm. rather than malarkey, because you may not be from Ireland. Do you have to be from Ireland to know what malarkey means?
Well, there was a coach for the Titans. Is he still a coach?
Malarkey?
I don't know.
No, you're going way off track.
Well, anyway, I was just going.
I started you on that path, though.
That's who I first thought of. Was that? Gentleman.
But I do not understand why they make it so hard to get to the heater core. You can get to just about everything else.
Yeah,
the heater core is very hard to get rid of. It was an 8-hour job for the tech.
That's crazy.
And let's say if you're, you know, the heater core itself may cost $50, maybe $100.
Mm-hmm.
The labor on it. Let's say your shop is at, and a lot of new car dealers are at $100 an hour. A lot of independent shops are now in the Tri-Cities, $85 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Times 8 hours. That's a lot of labor.
$800.
A lot of labor. So we need to file a protest. We need to storm General Motors headquarters. Free us from this burden. But heating and cooling, 6%. And fuel system, not fuel injection, but the fuel system is 6%. You know, there are a lot of self-imposed tragedies that happen. One of the most common that we see is people not maintaining their cars, not changing their oil. You know, I mean, we actually had to flush a system, an engine not too long ago, just flush and flush and flush to get the sludge out of that engine because they hadn't changed the oil in 25,000 miles.
Goodness.
You know, you should be changing your oil every 5,000 miles, rotating your tires every time you change your oil. I don't care if your car says you can change it every 7,500.
Or those commercials that say 100,000 miles between oil changes.
Well, I don't
synthetic
know.
Synthetic oil.
I've not seen that. I've seen 15,000 miles on synthetic
oil. No, that, there was a commercial. Jimmy Johnson was on it. He was about 3 inches tall. He was standing on the engine block. What,
Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR race car driver or the football coach?
No, the race car driver.
Race car driver, okay.
I think it was Jimmy Johnson. Anyway, he was talking about, they were talking about synthetic oil, this particular synthetic oil. You could actually go 100,000 miles. Now, to me, that is big malarkey. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was recently a German manufacturer of luxury cars revealed that of the 400 batteries returned under warranty for this specific time, 200 were working well and had no problem. So, you know, the dealership misjudged that it was the battery itself. But low charge and something called acid stratification are the most common causes of battery failure. And one of the biggest issues with both is caused by the way that people drive, driving habits. They are the more occasionally you'll have a factory defect, and if you do, the warranty will take care of it. But driving habits are the most common culprit. Heavy accessory power when driving short distances prevents a periodic, fully saturated charge that is so important for the longevity of a lead-acid battery, and that's the kind of battery you have in your car. Driving short distances, turning up your stereo, your air conditioning, your Bluetooth, you know, power seats, heated seats, massage seats, all that puts a load on the electrical system. And see, part of the job of the alternator is to run all that stuff. The other job of the alternator is to keep your battery charged and let it recover. You know, from sitting there idle. As a battery sits there idle, it loses its charge. There's internal chemical reactions that are going on. One of them is the stratification thing I was talking about. Battery actually sheds particles that drift to the bottom of the battery and settle in the bottom. It's kind of like not changing your oil on a car and the sludge builds up in the engine. Not driving your car, leaving it idle, or driving short distances on and off, lots of accessories, that'll cause a four-year battery to be gone in 18 months. Okay? So get your cars and drive them. If you're not driving your car, go buy yourself a trickle charger. Okay? A trickle charger you can buy at you know, any kind of parts store. And you can hook up your car to the trickle charger. It's just two little clips, a positive and a negative, and you plug it into the wall, and you just put it on trickle. There'll probably be a setting there that says that. You can't jump start your car with a trickle charger. All it's designed to do is just put a little bit of current in there all the time. When the battery's done receiving current, it won't receive anymore. It'll stop. Okay, and the trickle charger will automatically turn off. But if it senses the battery losing anything, it automatically kicks it back up. And your battery really likes that relationship. It's like me and my wife. I'm better with her than I am without her.
She has to trickle charge you every now.
She trickle charges me. Sometimes she gives me a jolt. Sometimes she uses the jumper cables.
Yes, yes, I understand.
I love that analogy, don't you?
That's a good analogy, yeah.
You know, if you want to keep your relations good, just trickle them every now and then. Not tickle them, trickle them. How are we doing on time?
We're going to have to take a break. And by the way, it was Kevin Harvick and not Jimmy Johnson, before anybody corrects me on that commercial.
Oh, that just came to your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Harvick. I don't know why I said Jimmy Johnson. But anyway.
I'll give you another way after the break that you can preserve the life of your battery, okay?
All right. Be back after this. All right, we're back here for the last minute or two of My Car Guru, talking trickle charges and relationships and all kinds of stuff on here.
Hey, don't leave your smart key in your car, especially if it's like a big key fob, like my key fob. Never leave it in your car.
Yeah.
Because they are communicating, and that's using battery power. Even when your key isn't in there, your car has a, can have a slight draw just to keep certain things active. In your body control module, you didn't even know you had one of them, did you?
No.
Your clock, okay? Little things like that. So one way to... now you got to be careful with this. On a modern car, you don't really want to do this, but on a, you know, an older antique car, just disconnect your battery. Take it out of your car. Just set it over on the side. You can still put a trickle charger on it, but you won't need it if there's no draw on the battery. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Just take it out. And realize that that battery will degrade over time anyway. It just won't degrade as fast if it's not hooked up to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And this sulfification, I think is what it's called. You ever see the powder that develops on a battery terminal?
Yeah.
Okay, that's your battery going bad. All right, and you've got to keep that scraped off. But pull your battery, but do not pull the battery on a modern car with modern technology. Your car does not like to be disconnected from electrical power.
Yeah.
Because it will reprogram everything. All the radio stations that you had programmed in, all of that would just go poof. And the settings that you had for your seats and stuff, and you reconnect the battery, you could activate a check engine light,
mm-hmm.
and then that necessitates a trip to the dealership,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get that checked out, because your check engine light's on. You know, you don't want that to be on. It may go off over time. You know, you can give it a couple days or so, but if that stays on, you might want to get in there and get that turned off.
Don't put black electrical tape over it either.
That's right.
All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru on this Thursday morning, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow on a Friday.